$35 million for the women's and children's.
Yeah.
We just realized, you know, that would just put this hospital under such pressure to just,
yeah,
you know, to bear all that interest burden. And so we decided, well, maybe it would be, El Paso would be better served by selling that hospital at a good price and using the money as a foundation for, you know, perpetual help to El Pasoans in one way or another. And so they sold the hospital for about $130 million. The stock market, it was then invested well, so that what is now called the Paso del Norte Health Foundation now has well over $200 million, far and away the largest foundation in El Paso. But I've got to say, I am extremely disappointed in the way they have used the money.
Mm.
And for the most part, they haven't spent near what they should have, I think. And I think El Paso would have been better off if it had stayed nonprofit. Because you know what happened? As soon as they sold it, all the prices went up in El Paso.
Oh.
It was the hospital that was holding down prices. It was a absolutely first-class institution,
mm-hmm,
that El Paso had its heart into. And it was the one that held the line on costs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The day it was taken over, the prices were raised on everything. I mean, not just a little bit, but a lot. And of course, now it's making a lot of money because it doesn't have any nonprofit competition.
Yeah.
So that was... I was a member of the board of directors of El Paso National Bank, later Texas Commerce, for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the organizations. I worked for the Cancer Society. I was president of the Cancer Society and worked for the Girl Scouts and did work for the Chamber of Commerce. But those were little things that didn't last long that I didn't, mm-hmm, I didn't really have my heart into. I mean, it was just...
And you didn't belong to any of those sorts of organizations like Lions Club? Or?
I belonged to Rotary for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Rotary was a good organization, but they had a mandatory attendance requirement.
Oh, yeah, that's too much.
And I just, I never did meet. I think I joined Rotary 3 times, and each time I just realized, you know, every Thursday I've got other things to do. And then they expect you, if you leave town, which we did a lot,
mm-hmm,
to go out of, you know, to the Rotary meeting and...
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So,
not
I mean, that
really.
If you don't, then it counts as an absence. And you're only supposed to have 3 of them in a year. And I thought, well,
that's like a college fraternity. What's up with that?
That's right. That's
They're
going
to fine you if you don't go to the meeting?
Yeah, that's right. So
that's
while
funny.
It was fun and I liked and admired all of the guys there, it seemed a little too much for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's funny.
So...
In the, this is kind of off topic that you're changing the topic, but one thing I want to ask you about the Episcopal Church is the person who does the services, what do you call him?
The rector.
Okay.
He is the head of the local church. The rector has great power, and he is the head. It's not a democratic organization.
Mm-hmm.
They have a vestry, and people vote on vestry members, but truly, the vestry has very little power.
Mm-hmm.
And the rector runs it.
Mm-hmm.
He's
the one in residence, sort of.
That's right.
Yeah. Now,
do you go to church in?
Yeah.
Georgia.
Not in Georgia.
I mean, in Athens.
No, but you know, there are 3 Episcopal churches in Athens.
Uh huh.
And